Every year I honor this time by, and I will reread, sometimes watch Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech. Then I reflect and I pray a little bit about how far we've come and how far we have yet to go, and what I've done about it and what I failed to do and so forth. And it's easy at this time, where we are in history, to feel like we maybe haven't gone nearly as far as we should. And sometimes it feels like we've gone backwards. And sometimes that just feels overwhelming and we don't know what to do. It seems like some of the things that we do really seem to work counter. You know, like, as a pastor in church, we would do something every year at this time with our brothers and sisters in the black church. But then it would seem like we would do the thing, and then the next day it would go back to be, just restart, default setting. And we know this, that this hour in America on Sunday morning, still the most segregated time in America. And you wonder if really we have done anything other than just name a dream and confess that we haven't achieved it yet. Still, I think the effort that we make are worth it. I made friendships that I wouldn't have made otherwise, and churches that I probably wouldn't have connected with unless something was the onus toward that. And I found out things that I didn't know. In the black church, I began to develop relationships with them, and I found out when you go and there are pastors participating in a worship service in the black church, every pastor, every preacher preaches. No matter how many are there, they say something. Martin Luther King Jr. Sunday, 5.5 hours long. It was a long service, but it was meaningful. I also developed relationships with other churches, and I would do exchanges with them, and we would do programs together and ministries together and back and forth, and we got to know that our people got to know their people. And so when there was a funeral in one church, we would do them together at some times. And I would go into the black church, and I would realize, they would stand up, there would be a time in which there would be a reading, a proclamation, a formal kind of document that the pastor would read or the lay leader or whoever was there, and it was something about the relationship and something about the affirmation of that life, and it was in real kind of formal biblical language, and I didn't know anything about this, so when I came up to do it, I had to pull this blank piece of paper and read from it. Just what I was making up on the spot, and I'm, thank God that God gave me the words, but, what I'm saying, and I'm trying to say, that sometimes even our lamest efforts, God blesses. That just the effort gets us a little further down the road than we were. And today I want to encourage us to continue down that road, even though at the time it doesn't feel like we've gotten very far. To remember that we are all works in progress. That none of us is there yet. That Wesley calls us on to perfection. That we might spend our entire lives doing that. It might take us longer than our lives to do that. But we're on a journey. We're on a quest. And we are to keep focused. And to use that language that Paul used and later Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. would use, to keep our eyes on the prize, even when it feels like it's fading from us. Maybe that's the most important time. I wanted to review a little bit about his life and maybe state some things that maybe you didn't know and remember him. An extraordinary man in many ways, and we remember dramatic things that he said and the way that people responded. But, I wonder, where along his life did he understand, did he get the notion that his life had a particular kind of significance for entire people? How old was he when it dawned on him that his life mattered beyond himself? Things that's come out to me, that if I knew, I didn't remember. He graduated from high school when he was 15 years old. And then on to college and seminary. He was ordained in seminary by age 19. He had been already preaching the gospel. Then he went on to Boston, United Methodist related school, and got his PhD there. And then went on to become the great modern prophet for social justice, for a new way of living out the gospel. And he changed the world. He won the Nobel Peace Prize when he was just 35 years old. He died when he was 39. He was still a young man. And I look at my own life and it seems pathetic compared to all that. And I wonder, what have I done with my life? I'm 58 years old. But I think it's time, what have we done with the life that we have? He reminded us that his faith and his politics were woven together. People accused him of being too political. He reminded us that all of his action in civil rights came out of his quest for excellence in Christian ministry, and that his vision, his dream, was the dream that God articulated, that Christ articulated in the scriptures. And it was the dream for all of us. And that it was not just the place of preaching to talk about heaven, if we somehow didn't tie that to how we live out our faith in this world, in this life. So I wonder, on this day that many grown very cynical about, it seems that this life of this great man, we remember on this day, has been reduced to taking the day off. I wonder if maybe we might find a way to take the day on in a way that makes a difference for us. Not a day for waiting around and wondering what others are going to do or organize or put together. What can we do? What can I do? Maybe this is a day for an accounting that's personal. You know, I look through, looking back at Martin Luther King Jr.'s life, and I realize, you know, where are the great prophets today? Why hasn't God raised them up? And thinking about that, if you look in Scripture, the great prophets, they didn't come around for thousands of years sometimes. It was as if that God spoke profoundly and powerfully through this voice once, and then what happened? Waited for the response. So maybe what's happening now is that God's waiting for the response. It seems that Dr. King and those others that rallied around in the civil rights movement, that it came and it got its victory. Things are different. It maybe doesn't seem like they are, but they are. Thinking back, I mean, every once in a while, that's what it is for a time like this, that we take stock of where we are and maybe how things were. And though it doesn't seem like we have wiped away racial injustice and hatred and prejudice, some things are different in our country. I was born in 1960, and I don't remember growing up that there was a time where there were separate bathrooms for white and black people, and I grew up. I don't recall a time ever going into the movie theater, and black people weren't allowed to sit on the main floor but up in the balcony, that there were separate water fountains, or that we went to the pool and there were pools that black kids weren't allowed to go to. I don't remember a time like that. Thanks be to God. And neither do my children. And when I tell them about a time like that, they look at me like, how could that be? How could people let that happen? And I said, well, It didn't happen overnight. It happened over time, little by little, and people kind of rationalizing that it was better this way. Even people today have conversations, maybe had I have them, people say, maybe we'd just be better if we were, you know, separate but equal. Remember, that was the language, the Jim Crow laws? That was the rationale. Then a lot of people still believe that. And we'll continue to believe that and try to make that so if no one ever challenges them. Do we ever challenge anybody when they make statements like that? Is it our place? Do we see it as such? Do we take personal responsibility for advocating for the Christian witness of social justice around this issue? Or do we just step back and say it's not ours to fight? I think this is a time for personal accountability in this, for all of us. We can't do anything about somebody else's response, maybe. But we can do something about what we do and what we think and how we feel. And the thing that all of us can do is look inward. And we can be honest about what we think and feel and see and how we act. That we might take a moment of accountability and reckoning on this weekend, this day and tomorrow, to do maybe what Dr. King would lift up on occasion. He would use that passage from the prophet before him, Micah. What does the Lord require of us? But to do justice, to love mercy, to love compassion, loving kindness, different words in different passages, they mean the same thing. Are we committed to caring? Or to walk humbly before our God? I'll walk. Walk humbly. Take steps humbly to do something toward grasping the prize of which we are so woefully far from. We can't maybe get there today, but we can all of us take steps. We can all march toward that prize. First, we got to get right. And I know there are ways that I haven't. If I'm honest, I see there are times where thoughts have crept in my head and feelings, and I am ashamed of them. When I think about my calling and my ministry, I am ashamed that I still have those, but I do. And I have to own that. And every once in a while, somebody will help me along the way, and I appreciate it, though maybe not at the time. Nobody likes it when they point it out that they might have some kind of prejudice or maybe they made a thoughtless comment. Sometimes it didn't feel like that I made a thoughtless comment, and somebody lets me know that I did. I was talking about one time, maybe you remember, I said this, that we are a nation of immigrants. Yeah, I have said that. Believed it, didn't think twice about it, until somebody who was African-American said to me, you know, Tony, not all of us chose to come to this country. And then added, and some of us were already here, like Native Americans. And I had even thought about that. I'd only seen it from my perspective. And I think it helps us when others make us aware of that, that we grow together when we feel like we have the relationship that we can talk about hard things with each other and we can be honest with each other. But it starts with being honest with ourselves. So I had this conversation, and I talked about it, and I apologized, and I thought I told her it would be more thoughtful. And then I remembered Dr. King's quote. Dr. King said this about that. We may not have all come here on the same boat, but we're in the same boat now. And we are. We are together in this. This is all of our journey. This is all of our quest. This is all of our battle. And we can't wait around for other people to fix things. We can't wait around for the prophet that might or might not be coming. Because maybe God's already calling us. We don't need more information. We know what we have to do. We just got to do it. And if we all will take a step, do what we can, that this becomes a time of reckoning in which we see where our gaze really is. Are we really looking forward? Are our eyes on the prize? And are we taking steps the way that Paul did, the way the ancient prophets before him did, the way that Martin did, and the people who loved him and the people who believed in his cause and were committed to it? And to those of us today who remember that dream and that legacy, and we might stand up and we might own that quest, that we might keep our eyes on the prize in Christ Jesus.